that's loud enough. Can yep, good. Thank you very much for that reading. Interesting reading, isn't it? Amazing stuff within this reading. I'm a bit awestruck by all of it, because when I was looking at it and researching it, I found that through the centuries, several very big people have preached on verse 14 to 21, and there are a lot of people even now preaching on this, and they are preaching on how to receive the power that is what God wants us to have. And if you listen to any of the sermons, the key ones to listen to is John Piper's just done a good one on this subject. John MacArthur, people like that are now beginning to preach on this sermon. And when I looked at it and I thought, what do I bring to this? And the more I looked at it and the more I studied it, and I thought, I have to make it a personal Bible study for myself, and I have to bring the I into all of this. So looking at 14 to 21, one of the things that we need to recognize is that over the last three chapters, what Paul has been doing is building up to a conclusion, and that is verse 20. He's building up to a conclusion where he says, okay, guys, I am giving you all the theory you need so that you can have verse 20. And when you go into chapter 4, 5, and 6, you will be able to apply this in your daily life. I mean, chapter 5, he turns around and says, be imitators of God. That's funny, isn't it? I mean, you know, be imitators of God. But why? And how? So Paul brings us to verse 20 to conclude chapter 1, 2, and 3, and then turn around and say to you, now in him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Exceedingly. To be honest, I don't recognize that in my life. I don't recognize what Paul is saying when he's saying this in this scripture. I'm turning around, exceedingly abundantly. Is that really true? Is that really true of me and my life as a Christian? And I can tell you, this became a real challenge for me while I was in India. When you see what is going on and you turn around and say, I am really, really frustrated with what's going on. I'm really angry because scripture tells me beyond, exceeding that power. Where is it? Frustrated, doubting, angry, and even sinful about the sovereignty of God. Where are you, God, in all of this? Do you know, I visited a hospital, and this is how crazy it is that the poor have no value. And you turn around and you look at people. This patient had absolutely no value. And the patient was so poor, they had to borrow money to get this surgery. But the doctor wanted this special scan to be done at a clinic where he had shares. Now, can you imagine? You turn up in Medway Hospital and the doctor says, you need a special scan and I'm going to send you to Liverpool. That's how far you got to travel. You have no money. Isn't it frustrating? And you say, where is God in all of this? And yet, scripture comes back to us and says, you will abundantly. And you know, if you look at John chapter 14, verse 12, what does the Lord say in there? You will do more than I do. You will do more than I do. So, you know, if you identify with me, that where is it? I'm frustrated. I have doubts. I have anxiety. And I'm sinful. Then join me. Because I feel this tap of Paul on my shoulder and say, excuse me, actually, I tell you what, I can pray for you. So let us pray, he says. So now, going from here, we go back into verse 14, where we started. And then what he says, for this reason, and I'll explain to you what reason he's talking about, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom I bow my knees. I will pray for you. This is the second time in Ephesians Paul turns around and says, I'm going to pray for you, you Ephesians. And this is to every church, and it applies to Pip and Jim's as well, and it applies to us today. I tried to hide behind the fact in verse 21 where it says the church will be glorified. So yeah, it applies to the church, not me. And then I go back to chapter 2 and verse 20 where he says, you are being built into a temple. Whew, I can't get away from I, because I, with you and others and Paul and everybody else, am being built into a temple where the living God is going to be. So again, I can't escape and say, it's for the church, it's for the saints, it's for people like that. No, it's for me. He wants to transform me. So here he goes down on his knees for this reason. What reason? Now, Gene and Martin have preached on this. And if you remember Gene's sermon, which I've listened to because I was away when it was preached, she said, please underline the word in Christ, in me, in. So what I'm going to do is, what I've done for myself is, why should I have this power and this indwelling of God in me? Is there is a checklist. And this is the reason, for this reason. And this is the checklist I have produced. So number one on my list is verse chapter 1, verse 3, which says, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing that is in heaven. Not by right, by my works or anything. That is because you are in Christ. You put your hand in his hand. So you now, I, with you, have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, Martin emphasized that very clearly when he was talking about it in his last. We have got every spiritual blessing that is in heaven. Don't need any more. It's been given to you the minute you gave your life to Christ. Number two on my list. He said, for this reason, because you are blameless and holy. You are blameless and holy. Wow! For what Christ has done for me on the cross, I am now blameless and holy. And then, number three, you have redemption. And that's all in chapter one. In Christ, and this is what Gene was leading to. In Christ, you have redemption and the forgiveness of your sins. You've been forgiven. So let's tick that box. Number four, his will. It is his will. You have his will. Number five, you have an inheritance because you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are heirs to the kingdom of God. I have an inheritance. Then number six in the tick list I've got, and this is the reason, I have salvation. Complete, total. In Christ Jesus. End of. Sealed in the Holy Spirit. Amazing, isn't it? Totally sealed. An inheritance. You know, he's paid the deposit, as Martin was talking about. He's paid the deposit, and he'll come and collect. The deposit is paid. The Holy Spirit is in you. You've been sealed in this. And then he goes on to that prayer in verse 8. He says, you know what? Guys, let me pray for you first here that the eyes of your heart are opened to these things, this checklist. Now for this reason, I'm going to pray, and this is what Paul's telling me, and I think we need to do that for each other as well this morning, is that I'm going to pray for you that you are now strengthened in the inner person, inner being. So if I drift on to saying the inner man, I'm not excluding the ladies, so, you know, all of us in the inner person. You will be strengthened. And what is the reason that we will be strengthened in the inner person? The inner person is our soul and our spirit. The outer is the flesh. And I'll go to Galatians later on to distinguish that a little bit more. But here in verse 16, 17, 18, he says, first and foremost, you are in the Holy Spirit. You've got that checklist. you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Number two, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, and then he goes on to say the fullness of God. Now, I don't know whether you were here last week, but Martin produced this cake. Do you remember? Two halves, got the cake. You know, you're no longer Jew, Gentile, one. And then he put the jam in there, and I don't know whether you also noticed, he said, that's the blood of Christ. That's Christ pulling everything together. Well, I'm going to add another ingredient to that cake and explain to you the fullness, what Paul is intending here. If you take vanilla essence, the whole bottle is not what you put in the cake. What you put in the cake is a few drops, but the whole essence of vanilla, whether you bite into layer one, layer two, you get the full taste of it. What God is saying, in this cake, which is what you are, I'm now putting myself in the vanilla flavor or vanilla essence. You can tell I'm Indian because I can't do the V's and W's properly. Yeah. And I've just been out there, so there we are. I've got to get them right. But vanilla essence of is being put. So, you know, I was hoping Martin to cut a slice and eat it. But, you know, I was waiting and waiting. I said, when is he going to do that? And he didn't. He was very well behaved. But, you know, it is a great analogy. Top layer, this Victoria sponge. Every time I now eat your Victoria sponge, think of the blood, the red, but the flavor, the fullness of God, totality has been put in me. And this is where we can say, you can have your cake and eat it. One place you can have your cake and eat. So here we go. He's going through everything. He's praying for us twice, so that you have the full power of God in us. My experience, and I know all of you will join me in saying, is my experience is of frustration, doubt, anxiety, sin. But I need to rejoice, and I need prayer. I need that tap on my shoulder to be reminded that the power of God is actually in me to strengthen the inner man. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And this is what the experience is. He says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So if you're experiencing frustration, doubt, anxiety, and that sovereignty of God sin, when we think, where are you, kind of a thing. He says, come into it, I will strengthen the inner man. And the inner person, the woman as well, is that you will experience this in reality when you have been strengthened in the inner person, your experience will be love, joy, peace. And how many Christians have underlined this in their Bible? And how many of you remind each other of this? You know, we sort of memorize this verse completely. So when Paul then goes forward and comes back to verse 20, he turns around and says, I'm praying the whole of the Trinity is now in you. The Trinity and I am very powerful. But then very nicely he reminds us when we are in that position. He says, but be well grounded in love. And what is love and how do we define it? Are the two commandments. That's the good grounding we have. Love your God and of course love your neighbor. When you are grounded in that, the whole Trinity is in me and I have that inner strength, that power that God wants to show through his church today. And that church is the living temple. So here we go. And I'm going to read something what Tim Keller said. This is a quotation. He says, if we give priority to the outer life, our inner life will be dark and solitude will be scary. Our outer life, as Galatians, if we go back to Galatians, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The outer. Let's leave it there. Tim Keller, if we give priority to the outer, it's going to be scary. So we've got to come along and let Paul touch us on our shoulder and say, it's okay, I'm going to go down on my knees. And what I'm going to pray for you is the eyes of your heart are opened and that you have inner strength. And now when we go to chapter 4, 5, and 6, you can say, I know how I can be an imitator of God and how I can enter into spiritual warfare when I have a foundation like this. Chapter 3 invites you. And I'm going to go for prayer later on after, at the end of the second sermon, because I do need that touch in my life. I hope you will take opportunity this morning to pray and know the power of God in your life. Let me just pray very briefly. Father God, thank you for Scripture. Thank you for this Paul's letter that has been written to St. Philip's and St. James in Wolseley. Father, we want to move forward and we want a touch of you in our lives. For I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.